This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation where one of the great traditions in this nation that people look forward to, and it's not just kids, it's everybody, is summer vacation, the lazy, hazy days of summer. What about the idea of making up for lost time in school by cutting back, not eliminating, by cutting back on summer vacation? That's a suggestion that's put on the table, and it seems to me a perfectly reasonable suggestion. I mean, why not, for goodness sake, given the amount of dislocation and the losses that people have faced very dramatically in terms of schools and public schools being so overwhelmingly and frequently closed? And what about the upsurge in attention, at least, to hatred of Asian Americans? And look, the truth of the matter is that if you go back in U.S. history, there has always been a strong undercurrent of resentment of Asian immigrants. There were riots in Seattle. There were devastating riots where they killed people and burned down their homes against Chinese immigrants in the 19th century. We had a Chinese Exclusion Act that was passed in 1881. Of course, there was the internment of Japanese Americans and so forth. But the idea of Asian privilege has so much become a part of our world that you would think that some of that prejudice, some of that bigotry, some of that idea of the yellow peril, that was the way that they characterized the dangers of Asian people immigrating to the United States, that a lot of that would have dissipated. And one would think that it has, but there are other people who are 100% determined to keep that idea very much alive. In fact, I think it's worth listening to a statement that Chuck Schumer made regarding the Atlanta shootings, and it's a statement that I think he really will come to regret. Here is the Senator Schumer on that explosive subject. Listen.
The Asian American community is still reeling from the senseless murder of 8 people near Atlanta, 6 of whom were women of Asian descent. It will be some time before we understand what drove the madman who perpetrated this crime. But there is no doubt that abuse, prejudice, and violence against Asian Americans is on the rise, and it is so un-American and so despicable that we all must be speaking out about this.
Okay, let me add my voice, too. He's right. We all should be speaking out against it. But the idea that it's associated with the Atlanta killings is way premature. Yesterday, I gave the president a little bit of credit for at least saying that, well, let's wait for an investigation. But so far, can we acknowledge that up to this moment, there is no indication at all that the killer, Aaron Long, was in any way involved in anti-immigrant or anti-Asian activities, does not appear to have a history in that regard, and that instead what he is saying, and he would, given the fact that he's basically confessed to these killings, he has waived the right to an attorney. That probably won't last. I mean, I'm sure there are attorneys who will get to him to represent him, as they should. But the idea that he was motivated by anti-Asian hate remains totally unproven. And Biden said yesterday, well, let's wait for the investigation. He said the same thing about Andrew Cuomo. And that's a reasonable position for people to take, rather than what Senator Schumer is doing here, which is preemptively saying that this particular case is actually highlighting that specific brand of loathsome hatred and persecution. Trevor Noah over at The Daily Show went even further in terms of jumping the gun on suggesting that there was a conscious racist component to these horrible crimes that were committed in Atlanta. This is clip three.
This is truly horrifying. Eight people dead, six of them Asian women. And soon we'll learn all about them and who they were in life, but all we know right now is that they are dead, and a 21-year-old white man with a gun killed them. And what's been sad about the story is not just the loss of life, but all of the auxiliary things that have been happening around the story. You know, like one of the first things that's been the most frustrating for me is seeing the shooters say, oh, it wasn't racism, it was sex addiction. First of all, f*** you, man. You killed six Asian people. Specifically, you went there. If there's anyone who's racist, it's a mother who kills six Asian women. Your murders speak louder than your words. Six Asian women were killed. Whatever you do, please don't tell me that this thing had nothing to do with race. Even if the shooter says that, he thinks it had to do with his sex addiction. You can't disconnect this violence from the racial stereotypes that people attach to Asian women. This guy blamed a specific race of people for his problems and then murdered them because of it. If that's not racism, then the word has no meaning.
Okay, to say that there is no doubt that unless you accept this as a racism, you're saying that the word has no meaning. This is problematic because it also goes to the idea that that every murder by someone of a one race against people of another race is motivated by racism. If the victims tend to be clustered in one particular race. So part of what I think is fascinating is that there has been confirmation by the law enforcement authorities that he apparently had patronized at least some of the three different massage parlors that he went in and shot up. And the idea that his motivation was specifically racial rather than very specific to his own experience. And then you can say, well, his experience was, given the fact that these particular operations advertised everything about their existence as being Asian, seems to me that obsessing on the Asian component of this is missing the point, which is that it is not simply the open season, and God forbid it should be, on Asian massage therapists. There is an increasing element of anti-Asian violence that requires action at all levels. So says David Takauchi, who is a scholar of Asian American mental health, and he's the Associate Dean for Faculty Excellence at the University of Washington School of Social Work. He writes today in the Seattle Times, it wasn't long after the first cases of COVID-19 were detected in the U.S. that verbal and physical attacks against Chinese Americans and others of Asian ancestry began to spike, inflamed by racist rhetoric coming from the former administration in Washington, D.C. By the way, if you have noticed that, if you've experienced that, if you're an Asian listener who has experienced an upsurge in incidents of hate and resentment, feelings of threat and insecurity, and you believe that that is related to the pandemic and the use of terms like China virus or the Kung flu or the Wuhan flu, if you believe that has been a problem, describe your experience. I would love to hear from you. 1-800-955-1776. We'll be right back with more Lanhee Chen coming up. Dr. Stephen Meyer is a New York Times bestselling author, and his new book, Return of the God Hypothesis, makes the case for the undeniable intelligent design of the universe. And it's already looking like a smash hit. Clear, compelling, and entertaining to read. Meyer skewers materialism, a must-read, and a convincing argument. Those are just some of the comments from the more than 40 scientists who've endorsed the book. Using discoveries from cosmology and physics, in Return of the God Hypothesis, Meyer reveals his stunning conclusion. The science supports not just the existence of an intelligent designer, but the existence of a personal God. Pre-order at discovery.org/medved. That's discovery.org/medved. And get these special pre-order perks, a sneak peek at an exclusive excerpt from the book, a free digital booklet about intelligent design, discounts for Dr. Meyer's online course, and an invitation to a private online meeting with Dr. Meyer. Get all this when you pre-order at discovery.org/medved. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds. Social media and trading platforms then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Michael Medved show, one of the factors that clearly does have an impact on this climate of hate to Asian Americans is the way that China itself is perceived. And some of the cruelty to some of the demonstrators, pro-freedom demonstrators in Hong Kong, the genocide against Uyghurs, the dangers of the Communist Party in China. And in fact, there's a new poll from Gallup that we're going to be talking about tomorrow with Gordon Chang. And a poll that shows that China is now overwhelmingly perceived as America's greatest enemy. The Gallup poll asked, what one country anywhere in the world do you consider to be the United States' greatest enemy today? 45% picked China. 26% picked Russia. 9% North Korea. Only 4% Iran. That's way down for Iran in just a year. Because you go back to 2020, it was 19% who viewed Iran as our greatest enemy. Now it's only 4%. China went up from 22% to 45%. Could that, in fact, have something to do with the virus and people who, in one sense or another, blame China for the outbreak of this virus here in the United States, or the arrival of this virus really all across the world? Dr. Takeuchi, who is a scholar of Asian American mental health, as he's described at the University of Washington, says this. He says, it wasn't long after the first cases of COVID-19 were detected that verbal and physical attacks against Chinese Americans and others of Asian ancestry began to spike, inflamed by racist rhetoric coming from the former administration in Washington. Now, is that also why the perception of China as our most formidable enemy doubled in 1 year? Might be related. So alarming are these incidents, including the Atlanta mass shooting Tuesday, that left 8 people dead, 6 of whom were women of Asian ancestry, that millions of Asian Americans are feeling vulnerable and targeted during an already deeply stressful time. He writes in the Seattle Times, I joined a national team of researchers called the Asian American Pacific Islander COVID-19 Needs Assessment Project, well, there's a title, that focuses on how Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders are faring across a number of dimensions, including health, employment, food security, and social relationships. One of our projects involves surveying a sample of the 3,000 Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders who reported hate incidents to Stop AAPI Hate between March 2020 and February 2021. Data showed that a substantial proportion of people who were reporting hate incidents have experienced post-traumatic symptoms, including depression, low self-esteem, and anxiety. And 95% said they view the U.S. as a more physically dangerous place. That's a horrible thing. He writes, other interventions we recommend include public messaging campaigns, bystander intervention trainings, restorative justice initiatives. What does that mean? What is a restorative justice initiative for Asian Americans? Community-based safety measures and multilingual and culturally appropriate legal and mental health resources, as well as funding to support such measures. Okay, all of this sounds like a lot of subsidies for social workers and academics, like Dr. Takeuchi. He then goes on and says, one respected local nonprofit, the Asian Counseling and Referral Service, recently called for more investment in communities, as well as multi-sector solutions that address the root causes of anti-Asian violence. Okay, what are the root causes of anti-Asian violence? He has this entire column without ever specifying what those root causes might be. He goes on, geopolitical conflicts often ignite racial tensions at home. Friction between the U.S. and China has emboldened some people to act on their prejudices. much as resentments over immigration at the southern border have been all too easily translated into hate crimes against Latinos. And you could say that, yes, there was certainly a hate crime against Latinos at that El Paso Walmart where the crazed killer went in and shot 22 innocent people, deliberately picking out Mexicans, he said. He said Mexican nationals. It was El Paso. Ironically, there are people who come across the border to shop in that U.S. store from Ciudad Juarez, which is right across the river from El Paso. In any event, he concludes by saying, just as our research team will be investigating these and other factors, our entire society must reckon with how anti-Asian attitudes so often linger just beneath the surface, ready to be activated by racially charged language or, as we have seen, the need for scapegoats in a pandemic-stricken society. Okay, it's interesting because I don't think anyone has actually done a poll suggesting how many people really do blame Asians as a group of people or even blame the Chinese Communist Party for this pandemic. I mean, the idea that it was developed in a laboratory in Wuhan has been totally discredited. It simply isn't true. But obviously, with the level of insecurity and with measures of soaring hate crimes, though we need to keep in perspective, in the city of Seattle, the Seattle police last year saw an increase from 9 episodes of anti-Asian hate crimes to 14 that were actually reported to the police department. That is not exactly a tidal wave. Is it concerning? Of course it is. So what do we do about it? We'll be speaking about that with Lanhee Chen. Dr. Chen is the David and Diane Steffi Fellow in American Public Policy Studies at Hoover Institution. And he's also a lecturer at Stanford University, former chief policy director for Mitt Romney when he was a candidate for president in 2012. We will be right back with Dr. Lanhee Chen. And more coming up on The MedVet Show.
Entertain your brain.
Your show is very entertaining.
Every day on The Michael MedVet Show. 1-800-955-1776. The Michael MedVet Show. That's 1-800-955-1776.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. More stimulus and higher inflation could potentially drive gold prices to record highs in 2021. And with gold exploration stocks poised to skyrocket in the coming months, you have an opportunity to position your trades with red-hot gold exploration stock opportunities. Text the word GOLD to 48542. Get front row access to market intelligence when you text the word GOLD to 48542 and to set your investment research strategy to hyper-growth mode with your free subscription to the Gold Market Research Report. Text GOLD to 48542 and have this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the most promising gold exploration stocks, then text the word GOLD to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text GOLD to 48542.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy is again hammering the Biden administration over the surge at the southern border.
The United States now has an unprecedented 13,000 migrant children in custody. At least one migrant facility hit 729% capacity.
The California Republican saying he still hasn't heard from the White House regarding a requested meeting with the president on border security. Congress is voting later today on two pieces of immigration legislation. One is the DREAM Act.
DREAMers are doctors, nurses, lab technicians, contact tracers, and job creators.
Congressman Raul Ruiz, head of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. The bills are expected to pass in the House. It's unclear if the Senate will take them up. USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech carbine upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Show, proud to welcome to the show again my friend Lanhee Chen, who is with the Hoover Institution at Stanford. He's also a lecturer at Stanford. He is a former advisor to Senator Mitt Romney, when he was a former governor, Mitt Romney, and a presidential candidate. He was in charge of the policy shop with the Romney campaign, so he certainly knows his way around politics. Lanhee, there is so much focus right now in media and in political conversation on what is perceived as a rising tide of hatred and even of hate crimes against Asian Americans. And a lot of this is associated with the idea that this has been called by prominent people the China virus. Do you think that connection, especially regarding these 8 murders in Atlanta, do you think that's a little bit too facile, or is it real?
Well, Michael, thanks for having me on today. I think what we are hearing and seeing is the function of many different things. I think the coarseness of our language, the coarseness of the dialogue around COVID, around how it got started, and around, you know, who's to blame, I think that certainly is a part of it. I think in some ways it's almost given permission to people to be hostile or indelicate with their words when it comes to people of Asian descent. And, you know, I think it's important to recognize that what we are also seeing is, in some ways, people identifying this more than they have in the past. I actually think there's been some measure of anti-Asian activity for some time. I think now people are identifying it more and they're calling it out more, which at the end of the day is probably a good thing. But it's some of the stuff we've seen recently, some of the acts of violence and hatred are deeply disturbing to me personally. And they are things that in some ways the fact that people more broadly are seeing what's going on, I think is an important wake-up call.
In it, you're a father and a citizen, and in terms of the way that you perceive it, is there a reason that now in March of 2021 that this seems to be particularly coming to a boil? And do you accept the idea that given the insistence of the murderer in Atlanta that he was not motivated by race, he says he was motivated by sex addiction and porno addiction, do you credit that at all, or should we just dismiss his own explanation of his totally senseless crimes?
Yeah, I mean, this is what makes the category of, quote, hate crimes so difficult and so challenging, is that what you're relying on in some ways is an assessment of the intentions of the perpetrator. And, you know, in this Atlanta example, it's quite clear this person, yes, was disturbed, was deeply troubled, and that there were a number of different things going on in his head. By the way, it's possible for there to be many different things that animate these senseless acts, right? It could very well have been some addiction to the things you've mentioned, but it could also be a particular view of Asian American women that played into it as well. And so I think you have to recognize that there's a lot going on. It's a very complicated and divisive time in general. And the origins of the coronavirus, which we have, you and I have talked about the kind of role that the Chinese government played in facilitating, for example, the early spread of the virus. The big question becomes, how do you hold the People's Republic of China and the Chinese Communist Party responsible for those things? And be very clear and forthright about that, while at the same time not fomenting the kind of anti-Chinese American sentiment that seems to be developing in some places. That's a very difficult thing to do, but I think it's an important thought to be able to hold in one's head, which is to say, on the one hand, we don't allow the Chinese government to escape responsibility. On the other hand, we don't scapegoat all Chinese Americans, you know, some of whom who've been attacked are American citizens, and the only place they've ever known is the United States, that we don't translate that animosity that we might hold toward the Chinese Communist Party, toward people of Chinese descent. It's a hard thing to do, I get it, but I think that distinction is important.
It clearly is. Right now, we were talking earlier, before you got on the line, about a new Gallup poll that shows that China is now perceived overwhelmingly, more than Russia, more than Iran, more than North Korea, more than any place, as America's number one foreign enemy. So in terms of dealing with anti-Asian bigotry, what are a couple of priorities that our leaders ought to keep in mind?
I think there are a few things. First of all, it is very important for leaders, whether in the public sector or the private sector, to make it very clear that where there are acts of hate or of outright kind of violence perpetrated against Asian Americans, and you know, that is motivated in some ways by background, that has to be called out, and it has to be stated that kind of activity is not permissible. But I think a large burden also falls on law enforcement at the local level, at our state sort of highway patrol and police levels, and then at the federal level with the DOJ and the Federal Bureau of Investigation, to ensure that they're devoting proper resources to investigating these things. You know, there's been some suggestion that perhaps there should be a task force formed by the Department of Justice at the federal level to investigate some of these crimes and to figure out, you know, what the motivations and animus are there. I think those are all possibilities, but there's no silver bullet, Michael, because at core what we might be talking about is how do you change people's hearts? And in some cases, these crimes are motivated and perpetrated by people who just aren't right, and you know, they need help. And so how do you get people the help they need? These are just really hard questions. And it's not just anti-Asian violence. This is any kind of acts of senseless violence that we see out there. And there are too many of those in our society, unfortunately.
Lan He, in terms of another issue, which is maybe tangentially related, the immigration issue, Joe Biden has been faulted for being incoherent in terms of his border policy at best. if you were to advise the Biden administration on one change in approach regarding handling the challenges at the border, what would that change be?
Well, I think he needs to be more direct about the value of border security. And I know that on the progressive left, there is an aversion to talking about border security. In fact, you may recall during the presidential primary campaign the Democrats had in 2020, the concept of ending, defunding ICE, the concept of open borders, of decriminalizing illegal border crossing, those were all things that had a lot of currency and cachet within the Democratic Party. Biden sort of stood out during the primary as someone who didn't embrace those ideas. I think he needs to be willing to be very clear now that he's president that there is a strong role for border security, that it is crucially important for us to have a fully funded border patrol, to be able to ensure that we have a border that means something. And those are things that the president has not said because, in part, I think he's concerned about the progressive left. But also because, you know, I think he feels like if he says it, people are going to think he's a Republican or something. But the reality is this shouldn't be a Republican or Democratic issue. This is an issue of how to keep America safe. And it's important for the president to state that clearly and to make it clear that that is policy that's acceptable and, in fact, should be laudable given some of this crisis we're seeing at our southern border.
Absolutely right. I agree with every word, and you've expressed it beautifully. Lanhee Chen, you can read about some of his latest comments and commentaries posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. And we will be right back with more on criminal organizations abusing the border challenges. It's coming up on The Medved Show.
This is going to be a little bit provocative.
The Michael Medved Show.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results, and after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone, but the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone, and so therefore my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654-PAIN, 833-654-PAIN.
With new leadership in Washington, D.C., it's abundantly clear that Americans are deeply divided. What does our country even believe anymore? What do we have in common? One organization that continues to stand for what America has always believed is the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. The Institute stands for the first things, the permanent things, religious liberty, freedom of conscience, the family, limited government, free markets, our Judeo-Christian heritage. The Institute for Faith and Freedom is unafraid to support these timeless truths and principles with no apologies. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll see insightful, bold opinion pieces from the renowned faculty at Grove City College. See Mark Hendrickson's latest on GameStop, Wall Street, and the hedge fund managers. See John Sparks and former Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty on impeachment. And take a look at our friend Paul Kanger's articles and speeches. You can find all of this and much more at the website of the Institute for Faith and Freedom. That's www.faithandfreedom.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com. That's soupbeansurvival.com. And discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com. That's soupbeansurvival.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
I listen to you every day.
The Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, there is a column in Bloomberg that has gotten a great deal of attention. It is called Here's a Thought: Shorter Summer Breaks for Students. And Andreas Kluth says, given that the pandemic has already made all of us reconsider so much of what we used to view as normal, how we work, travel, and meet, and so forth, I'm amazed we haven't opened up this topic yet. We must for two reasons. First, the situation of many students is dire. Second, school vacations, as they've evolved since the Industrial Revolution, were an arbitrary and bad idea in the first place. This is as good an opportunity as any to fix that. And what the column is talking about is a profound and important message. I mean, the whole idea of summer vacation used to be to allow students to go and work in the summertime on the family farm or in situations where, by and large, there was it had nothing to do with the weather necessarily as much as it did with the opportunity of people not to be in school full time once they reached a certain age. And right now, with kids falling so far behind, the column, at least, is talking not about eliminating summer vacation, but limiting it, cutting it shorter. Good idea? 1-800-955-1776. Let's go to Sid in Atlanta. Sid, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Hey, thank you, Michael. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Yeah, I think that Biden should give a speech on this Asian hate atmosphere that we're going through right now. I think that it will improve China and U.S. relations. And in the past, you know, when he started the administration, he had repealed most of what Trump has done. So he should verbally come through. And let me add that a lot of young people do not know that all this China thing that Trump was saying, that Asians are Japanese or North Koreans, and, you know, they all look Chinese. Young people like to call Asian people Chinese. And people are, you know, just going around just attacking anybody who looked Asian. And I think that Biden, it will do him good and it will do us good. This country good if Biden would give a speech, because just real quick, what happened in Atlanta is basically why the mass killing is basically why China did what they did to the Muslims out there. You know, so two wrongs don't make a right. You know, this is it's a bad atmosphere. I think Biden should give a speech about
it. You know what? What I think from everything I can gather about Aaron Long, this 21-year-old shooter, I don't think he has a clue of what's going on in China. He doesn't know anything about the Uyghur genocide. He doesn't know anything about the Communist Party. He seems to be a complete loser with very limited interests, no direction in life, and someone who has a porn problem and may fit in, as we've spoken about yesterday, to what people call this incel incipient terrorist community. I appreciate your call. And by the way, I do think it's entirely possible that Joe Biden will take advantage of the opportunity that you're suggesting. And I shouldn't say take advantage of the opportunity. It's a tragedy. It's a horrible thing. But part of the role of a president of the United States has to reassure people when they feel threatened. It's to do what, frankly, Barack Obama did when there were the nine people killed at a church in Charleston, South Carolina, during Bible study, and they were killed by a fanatic neo-Confederate, neo-Ku Klux Klansman. No evidence at all that that was what was involved in Atlanta with the killings there, but the idea of a national encouragement and comfort and solidarity for an Asian community that feels increasingly at risk, well, why not? I'll tell you, I got an email that came in, and it says, almost exactly 100 years ago, the President of the United States became mentally incompetent. This was hidden from the world by his wife, his second, the first having died, and by his staff, so that the presidency could continue in his name. The current wife was also her husband's second spouse. That president, Woodrow Wilson, was a progressive and took the U.S. into war. Let's see what happens. But Wilson and Biden are the only two presidents to have been mentally incapacitated for a considerable time and held up as a prop for others. Again, fine. The observations about Woodrow Wilson are correct, obviously. And it was very different. Wilson's first wife died while he was president. And he remarried Edith Bowling Gault Wilson, who helped conceal the level of his incapacity. But to compare what happened to Wilson to anything involving Joe Biden, Woodrow Wilson could not talk. He had a stroke. And he was gravely incapacitated. He later made a comeback. He even wanted to run for president again. But he died in 1923. And to compare the Biden situation to the Wilson situation is deeply inappropriate. Look, Joe Biden is not the most fluent, loquacious president we've ever had, not by any means. But I think that with his press conference coming up, he did the interview with George Stephanopoulos. Was it a great presidential interview and enormously reassuring that he was on top of every issue? No. But should it put us away from this idea that he doesn't even know he's alive, as President Trump said about him, that he is gravely mentally incapacitated? This just keeps setting up a low bar that Biden is going to clear, God willing, every time. And I say God willing because the one thing that America doesn't need is something that we haven't had since Woodrow Wilson, is the idea of a president who is severely incapacitated. Speaking of severely incapacitated, there is a film out there that is about incapacity, having to do with military service and drug addiction. Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Spider-Man Tom Holland plays a slacker college student who drops out, joins the army, and serves as a medic in Iraq. After he comes home, drug addiction and bank robbery is his fate in Cherry, now available on Apple TV+.
Sometimes I feel like I've already seen everything that's going to happen, and it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare, all right, based on a true story from the best-selling autobiographical novel by Nico Walker. Co-directors Anthony and Joe Russo, who did several of the Avengers films, are straining for an epic here, but Cherry becomes an epic ordeal. The graphic scenes of heroin addiction and reckless robbery are exhausting and appalling, though Holland and his co-star, the wonderful Ciara Bravo, are never less than impressive and convincing. Rated R, of course, and a filmic misfire that tells the redemptive part of its story in a quick afterthought montage. Only 2 stars for the distinctly uncheery Cherry. Okay, and part of the problem with the film is that it relies heavily on narration rather than any dramatic interchange, and the atmosphere is oppressive, and you feel as if you're trapped with this guy. It's one of the reasons an Oscar-nominated film that we're going to be talking about tomorrow is the film Sound of Metal, which is also about a recovering addict and basically relies upon a character who is very, very difficult to like. And that's one of the problems with Cherry. A much better film with Tom Holland, which is out right now, is called Chaos Walking, which is a pretty interesting science fiction film. Speaking of Chaos Walking, we do face a real challenge from Communist China. And, we'll talk about the emergence of Communist China, according to a Gallup poll, as America's number one enemy with Gordon Chang. And also about new claims that North Korea says it is ghosting endless calls and emails from Team Biden. In San Francisco, there was a 75-year-old Asian-American woman who was attacked. And how did she respond? It's actually an inspiring story. And we'll talk about attempts to change our voting system to the death.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Power grid failures and natural disasters. They happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.